Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Wednesday. It's a rainy Wednesday here. And it was a rainy Tuesday and Monday and Sunday and Saturday. And I guess we've had about maybe 5 hours of sunshine in the past week, if that. Yet it's been a lovely day because my sis is here with me now. My sis was living in Michigan. She lost her husband almost 10 years ago. And we decided it was really silly for us spending all the time we did on the telephone when we both could be together. So this got in last Saturday, and we've almost got her settled already. So the rainy days have meant nothing. They were just rainy days, and inside the sun has just been shining, and it's been wonderful. And my sister's listening to this broadcast tonight. Sis, I love you. I'm so glad you're here. Okay, so with that said, let me share our spiritual message with you, ladies and gentlemen. I did this some time ago. This is from A Course in Miracles. It's from the workbook on page 58. It says that your holiness reverses all the laws of the world. It is beyond every restriction of time, space, distance, and limits of any kind. I think that in my mind what this is doing is just defining or describing the one that we know as Jesus, being in the world but not of the world, and overcoming the world, the physical, while being here in the physical. I'm going to do that again for you. Just listen to this. Your holiness reverses all the laws of the world. It is beyond every restriction of time, space, distance, and limits of any kind. And in my mind and in my heart, well, Jesus said in the Old New Testament, talking to Pontius Pilate, when Pontius Pilate was trying to trip him up, and he asked if he was king, and Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he said, "I have come into this world for one cause, and that is to bear witness unto the truth." There are many truths that we have been given that are in that Old Testament. I believe that they've put words in the mouth of Jesus, in the writings and the so-called sayings of Jesus, just to make changes. Maybe one word here and there, maybe a whole bunch of words. But there is truth there. And I believe that he was a demonstration of who we truly are and what our potential is. And what I just read to you, that's what it reminds me of. And our guest this evening, again, is Alan Watt. Alan, thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Do you have any comments or thoughts about what I was just talking about?
Yeah, my mind tends to flow.
Your mind tends to flow?
Now and then.
That's an understatement, isn't it?
Just a tad.
My mind tends to flow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an ideal that everybody tries to strive for.
Yes.
But those who know that we try to strive for it use it for their own purposes.
Okay, and would you expand on that, because I'm not quite sure.
Well, if you look at all of the various movements of followers, not the leaders, but followers and various groups and NGOs and so on, they truly do believe they're doing everything for a better world.
Mm-hmm.
They have no one idea, because it's their nature to try to be good and help and so on.
Okay.
They have no idea that there's very rather opposite people at the top with a different conclusion in mind, but they need the help of the true believers.
Mm-hmm.
And we manifest a world which is never the one we envisage.
When you say they need the help of the true believers,
yeah,
are you talking about a religious belief or
all of that? All of that, even the ones that are involved in all the programs for saving the planet and so on, and who've been brainwashed by all the big nature programs on TV, which
mm-hmm.
is always one-sided propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
They really do believe they're trying to make a better world. But they have no idea, again, because of their ignorance, they don't search for further truths or agendas. They don't want to look at the nasty side of controlled society that would stifle individualism completely.
And all of these groups that they're involved in all emanate back to or from the United Nations. And
well, the UN is in charge.
Right,
of all
and uh-huh. in their, quote, true believing, uh-huh. they truly believe that
yeah.
the United Nations is our answer to peace in this world.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
But those, again, remember, the United Nations is staffed with bureaucracies that are intergenerational.
Yes.
And they have their own schools to train their own children, to take over from them. And whenever, once in a blue moon, when you hear a person at the United Nations speaking that isn't the front spokesperson, the PR person for their department, once in a while you'll get the real bureaucrat there, and they don't even talk to you to the public, like the public. They don't make it nice and sugar-coated it. They're pretty direct with their statements of dictatorial language of how the world is going to be.
You mean you're not talking about reports that are fed, that are actually available to the public? For example, what the heck was it under Clinton for sustainable development, the report on sustainable development?
Uh-huh.
I got about five. I was able to order those books. They were free before they quit giving them away.
Yeah.
And their language in those reports is so couched that you have to learn to understand their language,
yeah.
or somebody reading them, Alan, would think it's all so wonderful.
Yeah.
So they're saying what they mean, and they're absolutely meaning what they say, but
yeah.
the people don't read it that way.
Yes, and it's legalistic language they're using, which has gone through the blender to tone it down for the public relations department.
Yeah.
And that's the ones that give the public, the masses, as they say, the finished product. It sounds nicey-nicey, but there's different intentions behind it. Because the Society of Sustainable Development, under all the hype of crisis, has got a lot of decent people following this and believing it, because it's marketed to them by their news and by the television
yes.
programs. It's marketed constantly, and so they have a one-sided view of everything. All the other gaps on the other side of the story is never given. So they truly believe it's all for the best.
Yes, an example of that, we discussed this at length on Sweet Liberty, not you and I, but, you know, in the past. And there was a thing going around called the 2020,
uh-huh.
Vision 2020.
Yeah.
I had a lady from Texas on with us who was involved in one of those, what do we call them, where they're dialoguing the people to consensus.
Yeah.
And she said they are so slick, and they talk to these people. Of course, they've got all the facilitators there. And these are all people in the community, and they tell them, ask them how they want their community to look in 20 years.
Yeah.
And do you want open spaces for your children to run and play? And do you want this? And everybody's going, yes, yes. And so they come up with it, and they put it into resolutions within a county or a township, but usually a county. And that's there on the books.
Yeah.
It's on the books, and in 20 years, in 2020, they're going to say, here it is. By God, it's a law.
Yeah.
And the people help them do it, not knowing.
Not knowing the real agenda.
Yes.
And it's a world where, to see, when individualism, when free will and choice is stifled, strangled, actually, that's the end, you see. That's the end. That would be the end of living. For people who enjoy individuality, when you cannot make choices for yourself, you're living
right.
in a totally controlled society,
right.
you know, where
but,
everything's made for you.
Right. At the end of, maybe we'd still be breathing and moving, but not living.
No creativity at
right.
all.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, cradle to grave, that was the old socialist saying.
However, as you've said, that they've never made it, right at the grand finale, you know, they're sent back into their holes, Alan.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, okay, fine,
well, you see,
we have nothing
you
to worry about.
Yeah. You mentioned the missing link last program.
Yes.
And you see, the found the missing link is the bureaucrat.
Oh, okay.
See, that's
that
the
was
bureaucrat.
A joke. I thought you were going to give us a synopsis of what you said was not a drive-by question.
Well, that's it. Because if you go into these caves they live in, they call them government buildings, and you're trying to get help with some form of censure, you'll see them sort of scurrying alongside the walls, keeping to the walls, just like shadows. And if you ask them for help, they murmur something like, it's not my department, and then they disappear inside doors.
Yeah.
These dark little caves you live in.
And it isn't.
That's the missing link.
Right, and it isn't funny.
That's true.
Yeah, I know. It is true.
Yeah.
And it is true, as you said, that there is no complaint department in this system.
No, it's a gang system.
Yes, and I've said this before on the air, but it's been a long time since we've discussed it. Here in Pennsylvania, talking to a state legislator, we were talking about the agencies and the bureaucracies created around and, you know, within the agencies.
Yeah.
And he told me, first of all, there are two different conversations with two different people here, but he told me that they began to realize the mistakes they made and the power that they gave to these agencies, the bureaucrats.
Yeah.
But he said, we can't, no matter what we do, what we introduce, we can't even get it out of committee to get it changed.
Uh-huh.
And in another conversation, this was with another rep's secretary, it had to do with Children Family Services, Alan.
Oh, yeah.
And they had people calling up, you know, where Children Family Services were harassing and abusing and taking their children under armed officers, etc.
Yeah.
And when the state rep called, what they said simply was this: you created us, you gave us this power, there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was told.
Yeah. And it was the same thing with the other one that you knew, who was a farmer who sat on the board for something, but with taxes, for property taxes. And they were seizing farms and so on, or foreclosing and...
Oh, yeah.
And the answer he gave you?
Well, yeah, that was Walt Barnes. That was our county commissioner, and he is a farmer, mm-hmm. has a large farm. And he had returned a call to me, apologized that he hadn't returned it sooner, but they were out... what do they call it when they're seizing homes? They're taking over, you know...
Yes.
And
stealing is the word.
Yeah,
actually.
Stealing is the word. He didn't use the word, and he said it so nonchalantly. And I said, "Isn't that a shame, Walt?" He said, "What? What do you mean?" I said, "Taking people's homes because they couldn't pay their taxes." I said, "My God, people believe that by working hard and paying off their mortgages, they're going to have security in their elderly years." And because they can't pay $2,000 taxes, their home is gone. He says, well, we have to do something or nobody pay their taxes. And that was it. That was. And I thought Walt Barnes was a nice man. I thought he was. And maybe there's in ways about him that he showed some decency. But it meant nothing to him. And you know what? I think about the fact that what goes around comes around. It doesn't always happen, maybe this lifetime, but it often does, Alan.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And I mean, it's so wrong to wish that something like that would happen to someone like him,
yeah.
because we're creating our own negativity to come back around.
Well, this has been asked for thousands of years. Why do the wicked prosper? And you see, it's because the system we live in is the one system for thousands of years based
mm-hmm.
on money. Based on a hierarchy of control of money right down to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got its own secret society at the top, and it's helping secret society beneath it. They can always rationalize it and work for them for self preservation in some ways and self-aggrandizement in others.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the problem. We live in an artificial system where we don't trade things, we don't swap things, exchange things. We use this thing called money, and once we accept it, it rules our lives, and the people who rule our lives we never even get to meet.
And we haven't found a way yet to do without it, have we, Alan?
Well, they won't let you do without it.
Right.
That's just it. 100 odd years ago, even less, you could barter to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
But that, even that's been taken away. They call it the underground economy, and have ads on television how the underground economy is robbing you, the taxpayer, by not paying their share.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because they trade. Okay, here's a beautiful example of barter. I shouldn't maybe say it. The tax collectors will be at my door. My neighbor, about an hour ago, brought over four bales of hay, small bales of hay.
Yeah.
For my, outside the mudroom there, where it's so muddy because it's raining all the time. And he brought it around. He and his wife were here, and I went to pay him. I said, now is it $2 or $2.50 a bale now? He looked at me. He said, nothing. I said, well, if you won't take it, then I won't be able to ask for hay anymore. He said, my God, I already live with a woman who's worrying all the time. He said, we're neighbors. And I had given her a jar of my pickle relish. She said, we've been paid, Jackie. We got a jar of pickle relish, and thank you. And we may need a favor from you sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what it's all about, isn't it, Alan?
That's it. That is called human natural decency.
Yep.
But they don't allow that, you see, because we're ruled by a gang at the top who believe that they own us, you see. And they have decided, and it's all their economic books, that the public actually exists to serve the economy.
I know.
You see, that's their law. We're living under a gang rule here with its own rules and regulations.
Well, if parents knew that when their children in school are being given the assessment test,
mm-hmm.
if they knew that their children were being assessed for their future tax value, I wonder if there would be more parents taking their children out of school. And I would like to say this for our listeners, any of you listening who would not want to believe what I just said, go into the website, to sweetliberty.org, go into the children's section, and read the article, Are Your Children Human Capital? And then right under there is a presidential executive order signed by William Clinton setting up a commission to study capital, and it included human capital and the government or other entities' use of capital. And they were also to report, Alan, on the, what is the word I'm trying to say? When your car starts losing value?
Depreciation.
The depreciation, thank you. The depreciation of human or of capital. That was part of what the commission was reporting on.
Yep.
And if you took it out all the other kinds of capital and just read in there human capital, you'd see what our children and what we are to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right from their own, this is quoted from their own words.
Yeah. And it goes much, much deeper and more insidious than what you're talking about, because it all goes right into genealogy as well. Because remember the eugenic society is what they used to call bioethics committees. Right now we have bioethics. Yesterday it was genetic societies and eugenics. And the Rockefellers were the first ones to fund it in the U.S. And in fact, they were responsible for getting laws through that had mandatory abortions with certain people who they class as possibly defective, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Right into the 1970s in the U.S. Now they changed that name because of when they brought out the genes, the genome project.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly on the media we had these instant, that's what I enjoy about these things, is we have instant panels that just happen to be there looking after us, and they're called bioethics committees. Well, these bioethics committees are there to do the PR for the big boys who want to upgrade their stock for the next type. They don't want people with possible allergies or who'd be sick in their life and off work and this kind of stuff. The same stuff as we saw prior to World War II, leading up to World War II even, You see even further back in the 1800s with Nietzsche and different ones who talked about the unfit shouldn't live. This is what it's all about. They want a productive market, cattle market. We're the cattle who are healthy and not too bright, but bright enough to do the work that we're assigned to as we go through the changes and as we go through the creation of the new types of humans. This is what all of this comes together. It's a huge spider web that comes together with the testing of children, the genealogies of both parents, the possibilities to sickness, inheritance, dominant genes, all of that's to be fixed and eliminated for the future.
They want efficiency. That's their plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're going ahead with it. This is happening.
I know.
There was an excellent movie called Gattaca.
Called what?
Gattaca.
G-A-T-T-I-C-A?
I think it was.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And it was about a very near future where they bring the first types of test tube type cloned people up into adulthood.
Oh my.
And they're now superior because they weren't bred in the old way. And all the defective genes supposedly were taken out.
Is this a new movie?
And put in with superior genes.
Is this a new movie?
Yes, and it creates two classes of citizens, the old type and the new type. And the new type get all the government jobs and get to go to NASA and all this kind of stuff. It's worth seeing.
Yeah, it's a new one.
Yeah, it's been out for about 10 years.
Oh, it is a new one. I asked if it was a new one, you said yes. Okay, there was another movie, remember this? And it, in fact, I think you told us to watch it, and I don't recall the name of it.
Uh-huh.
About the people who were all genetically engineered in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain people who escaped it, and those who escaped it were total outcasts.
Uh-huh.
Do you recall that movie?
Well, I know they had the same thing in Brave New World, where the ones who would not take part and stay in the habitat areas lived in the forest, and they were called the primitives.
Yeah.
By the elite.
And they had their babies from their bellies.
That's right.
Yes. You know, going back to the bioethics,
mm-hmm.
With the human genome projects and creating or making, we would say, the perfect slave and the perfect worker bee, the bioethics also includes the euthanasia of those useless eaters. And when I think about that word, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't euthanasia mean to put somebody to sleep, like a dog or an animal? That's,
yeah.
Isn't it supposed to be a kind and gentle thing?
It's a nice way to kill something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about Terri Schiavo. And they murdered
her. Yeah,
she
was a sacrifice as they were signing the free trade.
Right.
The United Continent Agreement, Fortress America, down in Waco, 2005 in March. That was her sacrifice, and that was her big distraction from what they were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The name itself is so strange because a shiver or a shivo in old European languages used to be a substitute for a priest that would take confession in rural areas when the priest couldn't be reached for last rites.
You know, that was her husband's name?
Yeah.
Shivo?
Yeah.
And what about the name
Shivo? And a Shivo was a sin eater. So in a sense, he took the sins upon the person.
Wow.
So it had all the connotations of your typical sacrifice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Then maybe you could add to this, her maiden name was Schindler, because she was referred to as Terri Schindler Schiavo.
Uh huh.
And what does Schindler mean? Does it mean anything?
Not so much.
Okay.
But then again, the Terry's interesting, because Terra generally is the Earth, you see.
Uh huh.
And the Y is the dominant ones that rule the planet. The Y genes, of course.
Her name was Teresa.
Yeah.
They were Catholic.
Uh-huh.
But Schiavo, or Schiavo, S-C-H-I-A-V-O,
mm-hmm.
was her murdering husband.
Uh-huh. And it was so odd, because they could have done that at any time. They pulled it out, the out of the works a few times
prior
to that.
Yes.
To get the public all talking about it, debating it, and this is why they do these on certain occasions. And then they pulled it out at the right time. They covered up the Waco deal for the United Americas. That
yeah.
was really interesting. Because there was about 95% coverage of what was happening with Terry Schiavo.
Yes.
And only 2.5 minutes of coverage on the first greatest event since the American Revolution, which was the amalgamation of the Americas. Yeah. And this is your free press. I mean, come on.
Right.
Yeah, they play with our minds all the time. Yeah. And it was also the first on the books, really, again, given tacit consent by a public that eventually accepted it.
That was it.
For legally ordered euthanasia.
It was legally ordered.
Yeah.
To allow, not just an alive, but an actual person who was not, she was brain damaged, she was not brain dead.
Yeah.
She moved, she laughed, she cried, mm-hmm. and they claimed that she had permanent, what are they, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But she was permanently brain damaged.
And therefore that's enough of a reason to kill somebody.
Well, they claimed that she had, she had nothing. That her brain, you know, on one of the TV things, I think it was Larry King Live when Michael Schiavo was on, they showed x-rays, and of course these x-rays could have been of anything, but there was this great big dark spot at the a pretty large area, and they said that whole part of her brain is dead. This is Terry's x-ray, and surely it was a fraud.
Yeah, and regardless, but we've looked after people for hundreds of years, thousands of years that were damaged. That creates a precedent, you see, for the law system then to decide in the future who should live and who should die according to your ability to function in their legal system.
Well, as you said, yeah, but it was the first time that they had the approval, even,
mm-hmm.
of the people, the masses of the people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people in other countries who, well, they weren't getting, you know, as stormed by the media as the people were here. But when you think that they could show a video of Terry looking around when her mother walked into the room and a big, great big grin coming onto her face while they were showing the video, a permanent vegetative state, PVS is what they called it, vegetable. She was nothing but a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying this while they were showing that video.
Yeah, and that was, again, the dehumanizing terminology they used, which is typical when they want to kill something and make it acceptable to the public.
Yes.
It's the same with abortion. We stop calling a baby, and we call it a fetus.
A fetus, yes.
Which is just a Latin term for the baby, you see.
However, Alan, think about this. So this was a double thing because they weren't just saying she was in a permanent vegetative state. They were showing her being alive, being aware, having feelings, emotions.
Mm-hmm.
She was responding to her mother while they were saying she was in a permanent vegetative state.
Yeah,
and then people...
That was intentional.
Of course it was.
It was intentional to get you to see, well, even though I see with my own eyes and I should think for myself, I will take the professional's word for it.
Actually, and of course, people don't go through that thought process, but that's exactly what they do. The announcer said it, the news person said it, so regardless what they saw, we have...
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and to his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Alan?
Yeah?
I made a note to ask you this evening because... Excuse me, actually, I made the note on break, but I get phone calls from our listeners, and you know, there are so many people who are listening to a long archive.
Yeah.
I mean, hours and hours and hours, and one of the questions I keep getting is, what can we do? What can we do besides knowing this?
Yeah.
And because so many of them seem to have the question, I'm sure when you get calls and you get letters and emails, but I thought maybe you would respond to that question to our listeners tonight who had the question, the concern that they have.
Well, the first thing to do is don't sit on information if you have it and understand it. You've got to share it somehow, and it doesn't mean you go around like an evangelist trying to wake people up. It's more a matter of do anything. I know one old guy in Texas that hands out leaflets that he prints up himself.
Uh-huh.
And he's in his 80s.
Uh-huh.
And he goes into streets and cafes, laundromats, puts them up in the wall. This is where you grab the odd person that's thinking,
mm-hmm.
and is trying to wake up, has taken the step of asking questions. And they see some answers there, and then they get in touch. You've got to use the information you have, because people, you see, I could go on like the rest of them do about what's happening right now.
You mean all the details?
And all the bills, and who said what,
yeah.
What bills coming through, and what they're going to do next to you. Now, that's widely available to the public. They have that. It's out there. I have a much bigger overview of the whole process, so nothing that's done startles me at all. Because you know the whole agenda,
right?
And nothing, and the names who brings forward the bills, they're totally irrelevant to the front men that they get chosen.
Well, in the first place, they call them a sponsor of a bill, Alan.
I know.
They aren't any. They have nothing to do with the writing of the bill.
No, not at all. And even the Congress, and everybody knows this too. They don't even read the bills. even the Patriot Act, they were told not to read it because it would be unpatriotic to read it. So, I mean, come on, we're living under a gang warfare.
They were told it would be unpatriotic to read it?
Yeah.
I thought it was put in so through so fast and it was so...
They were actually told that it would be unpatriotic to read. There's no one but trees and bother to read any of it. And that was in the newspapers here in Canada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And
so
I wonder if the one...
We're not living under any sort of democracy.
No.
You're living under a society. Everybody up there has sworn allegiance to Freemasonry in one of its forms, or one of its many names, you know. And they're all getting their payoffs and kickbacks, etc.
I'm glad you said in one of its many names.
Oh, yeah, there's so many of them. And they're all the same. It's one big pyramid, you see, different names.
Are all the littler things like the Elks Club and those, are those all Freemasons?
Well, I think we went over some of that before. Some of the ones that have the little fun stuff as a sort of side line, they belong to other lodges, but they can have their fun lodges, too.
I see.
Yeah, they'll have a real lodge somewhere, yeah.
So do you think that most of the members of those Elks, we'll use that as an example, they're members of a Masonic Lodge?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same in the police forces. Every policeman's house you go into, you're going to see the son there. The mother and the father are so proud of them. And he's standing in his uniform as a cadet, and then next to it's his one with his Masonic regalia on. Because every policeman, every body in the military is told to join Freemasonry.
Right.
You know. One of the funerals they had in Canada, with the last bunch that were killed by the American planes, we've got another bunch killed here by American planes again.
No, tell me about this, please.
I don't really follow it, so I generally watch any news with the sound off, waiting for the weather report to come on.
Right.
But some soldiers were strafed. I wasn't sure if it was Afghanistan or Iraq, by an American plane.
Oh, no.
And so they're having the funerals, and they're all crying and stuff. But that's every time this happens, they're killed. It's generally American planes that kill them, and it's a long history of this. Even the casualties in Gulf War I was the same, and then the next Gulf War, it's primarily American planes that kill them. So that's what's been taking over the media right now. But they did have a Masonic funeral at the one before. When the press went away, and when the press did say that they donned their aprons and had their Masonic funeral for them. So Freemasonry, and Albert Pike said it too, he says it would be very, very helpful to Freemasonry if they could promote it amongst police and military. So all official uniform, there's your word, uniformity. Because when you put a uniform on, you become part of a uniformity.
Uh-huh.
You form, Masons form something. They create, they build, they form and shape. So a uniform, you lose your identity and you swear allegiance to the form itself.
Uh-huh.
And that's the danger with any kind of uniform.
And so besides passing out pamphlets, you know, we have new listeners who, once they begin listening, go back into the archives.
Uh-huh.
We've had a long time, a lot of us, our long-time listeners, and myself,
mm-hmm.
and knowing you for 8 years, I've had a long time to digest and to settle in with some of the things that we've learned from ancient history. You know, you're telling us of ancient history and how long ago this plan was laid, and
yeah.
It is ancient. It goes back to millennia.
Mm-hmm.
But when people get hours and hours and hours of this in one chunk,
uh-huh.
it really knocks them off their feet, Alan.
I know, and yet, in this particular time, it has to be done that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Because we don't have the time. The sciences are ready to go. It's not a matter of a testing phase. All you have to do is just to accept step by step the next step.
Right.
Which is literally the creation of new types of humans, the acceptance of euthanasia, which will be stepped up for petty things, and this uniform society they're creating.
But even to understanding and coming to the realization
mm-hmm.
that they're trying to kill us. I talk to
You watch them spraying the skies every day.
I had a conversation with a beautiful person earlier this week, and that was one of the things she said because she found out about the vaccination. She found out about genetically modified food and the spraying. And she said to a friend, "My God, they're trying to kill us."
Mm-hmm.
And that it is a rude awakening. And I could certainly empathize with her because I remember there was a time, and I know that you probably remember me saying this to you. I still do at times. You feel like you're living in a parallel universe or something, or existence. But it was I was so disoriented. I guess that's the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Alan, nothing I look at, nothing I see, even seems real to me anymore."
Yeah.
And you said, "Well, that's a good place to start."
It is.
And once we settle into that and realize that everything that we thought we knew, it's almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there were a few things we actually knew, but I mean, as far as history about our country, our Constitution, freedom and liberty, none of it. I mean, it was all a lie. And the fact that our culture has been given to us, and it makes you so sad when you see our children today running around with their hats on sideways and their body piercing and the pants sagging down to the top of the crack of their rump, and the crotch of the pants comes down past their knees. They can't even run.
Yeah.
It's so pathetic. And it's all, it's African.
It's not even African.
Well,
I have always said this. Some guy in a black area town did not go into a store and buy an oversized pair of pants.
It was given to them.
This was marketed to them.
Yes.
Deliberately thought out by professionals in the music industry and marketed to them. And they all adopted it. Just like they adopted the Teddy Boy era at one time. Before that, it was the Beatniks. You know, a Beatnik wore long hair, smoked dope, never washed his hair, and wore a polo neck sweater, you know, and smoked dope. That was what they tried to market at that time. It didn't work in some countries in Europe, so they came out with pop instead. And then the Beatles came out with a little Beatle haircut. Everybody emulated that. And they had the Beatles suit with no collar on the jacket.
That was the Nehru jacket, wasn't it?
Pardon?
What I can remember when they had what they called the Nehru collar.
Uh-huh.
Or it was some Indian leader anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It had no actual collar, it just stood up.
Yeah, well, with the Beatles, they didn't have any collar at all. It was just a jacket. Kind of like a bellboy would have, in a sense.
Okay.
And had the Beatles haircut with a little fringe along above the eyebrows and winkle thicker shoes, and they came out with hipster pants for guys, which sort of hung on your hips if you had any. I mean, very young guys don't have much of a hip to start with.
Most guys don't anyway.
That's right. And then, of course, to time it with them, strangely enough, with their first hits, those very items that suddenly appeared in the stores.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's all coordinated, because Plato said that the music industry and the fashion industry go together.
Right.
And drama. And that was from 2,300 years ago.
Yeah.
Nothing changes. And of course, in sociology, it's called the culture creator industry. It's called that.
You know, and here I go back to that what can we do thing.
Mm-hmm.
It in my mind, there is something so powerful about knowing, about understanding it. And I think of the statement attributed to Jesus that you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time we were talking on the air, and you were talking about the real controllers behind the ones that we see and think are in control.
Yeah.
And that you said that their greatest fear is that enough people will realize the power within them.
Yeah.
And I ask you, how many do you think that it would take? And you said, I don't think very many, because there aren't very many of them. And to me, it's sort of like, you know, the ignorance is darkness. It's like you're walking around in your sleep or with your eyes closed,
yeah,
and feeling your way around. And when you suddenly wake up, it's like seeing the light. And it feels to me like the more people that know this. In fact, you said that about the monetary system when I argued with you about the gold thing.
Yeah.
And I said, well, okay, fine. If that was your solution, you said, when enough people understand it, it is going to collapse of itself.
Yeah.
And I believed that. I mean, it just rang of such, so much, yes, that is. It can collapse of itself. And so as you said right off the bat, knowing it isn't just enough. Knowing it, understanding it, and being able to share it, and people will come up with ways.
Yeah.
People
and,
will
and
come
not,
up.
Definitely not to evangelize. See, I know people who've literally got bitter because of their own ego, really. They think, well, I understand it, I'm bright, I can put it across to this person, and I'll make them understand. And you don't realize you're coming from a different world from the brainwashed world they're still in. And you seem crazy to them.
Yes.
And a damn nuisance as well if you keep harping and harping on about it. So you can't take it from... You only go for those who are starting to wake up and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the ones who are in the land of the dead. If they wake up later, all the better. But in the meantime, you cannot personally do it for them.
Right, exactly.
But the ones who are asking questions, you can start supplying them with the information.
Yes. And whether they get it or not...
Uh-huh.
As you said, we can't do it for them, mm-hmm, and yet we don't have to stop planting those seeds.
Yeah.
Because some seeds are a long time germinating.
That's right.
And we might
some
not be around.
Don't get it until much. There's nothing worse than someone harping on and harping on to one who's quite content. Now, here's the truth, too, you see. There's a lot of people who are content in a socialized system where these invisible people that they never meet above them make all the decisions for them. They're quite happy with that. And most of the people in every generation are followers. They're not leaders. And so you've got to accept that too. You look for those with leadership qualities,
mm-hmm,
and with a true need to live a life where they can make decisions for themselves. This is where the human will comes in. That's what it's all about, is having the will to make your own decisions.
There's something I want to share that just came into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do, once we know something, we want to share it with people and we talk about it like, okay, this is the way it is. Two times, and I didn't do it on purpose, but I saw it working, and I don't know why I don't remember this. I mean, to remember it. I remember one day it was when they were having the terrible floods in... Illinois, in the Midwest, and they had a Bermuda low, or one of the systems stalled off the coast.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia had a month of weather in the hundreds. People were dying, animals were dying, etc., and it was stopping the rain from moving forth. It was controlled weather.
Yeah.
Well, I'm at a hospital waiting room. My brother was having a minor surgery. And there was a newspaper laying there. This was in Illinois, in Springfield, laying on a table in the waiting room. There was just one other woman. And it told about there was so much rainwater that there was flooding in areas where there were no streams and rivers because the water was coming right up out of the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked up the paper and I read the headline out loud. And I looked, and she looked at me. I said, you know what somebody told me? And she said, what? I said, that this weather that we're having is not natural, but this is controlled weather.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I wouldn't be surprised. But
yeah,
maybe if I would have said, you know, this weather's controlled, don't you? She might have, you know, rolled her eyes and gone back to her magazine.
Yeah.
And I called into a radio station one night. It was a big 50,000-watt station out of St. Louis. The guy had had a guy talking about the economic system, and I called in, and I talked about it like I had just heard this, that I said I can't hardly believe this, but that the Federal Reserve isn't actually federal, that the Federal Reserve Bank is owned by private individuals, and that our money, all the interest, all the money that we owe is interest. And I explained it real quickly how I had heard it, that, you know, it's our presses and our money and our paper, and then we sell the bills to the Federal Reserve Bank for like 2.7 cents per bill, whether it's a one or a thousand, and then borrow it back at 10% interest. I said, would your guest comment on this? And he said, thank you. And he says, and this guy said, everything she said was absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't call up like I was a know-it-all.
Yeah.
I called up saying somebody told me this and I can't hardly believe it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's for me, maybe I'm saying this as a remembering, that sometimes just don't talk like we know it, but that we just read it, or maybe that would help.
Another thing too, and I think this is a big failure a lot of people have, to listen to all the different talk shows. So there are a broad spectrum of all the evil things that are going on, and they hit someone who's a complete novice with all of this at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just too much. You overwhelm them.
Yeah.
And they just switch right off. So you stick to a topic which they cannot relate to.
Uh-huh.
And leave it with them. And then as they come back to you, you can see here's another little thing you might be interested in.
Yeah.
On the topic again. But to try and give them all this stuff at the same time just overwhelms them.
Exactly.
And it's the best psychological warfare technique to disable somebody.
Yes, and there are plenty of them on the air today, aren't there, Alan?
Well, fear does it.
Yes.
Fear does it.
Agents.
You can't throw fear at people without giving them a solution.
Agents of paralysis.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Well, we're just about out of our hour,
uh-huh.
And I think you should tell our listeners about your DVD, The Reality Check Part 2, and go ahead and do it, because we may have some new listeners that pop
in. Yeah, well, this latest one, there's a book here for sale on the site and different things, but the new DVD is good quality.
Very good.
All the problems have been ironed out of them.
Yes.
And it's different from anything that's out there. I go through some of the esoteric meanings behind things, which you'll get right away. For the first time, you'll see certain things as they really are. And I show you how the techniques are used on your mind. I show it right to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth getting. So get it at the website, cuttingthroughthematrix.com.
Yes. And how about the CD that you have,
mm-hmm.
of our first 12 broadcasts?
That's there too. And I've also got the books are also on PDF for people who want to, for $50 as opposed to $75 for the paper ones.
You mean for all three of them?
Yeah.
And what do? They download it themselves? They print it out?
No, I send it on disc.
Oh, Alan.
Yeah, I send it to disc.
Oh, that's good.
They can sit and read them all on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So instead of 25 a book and 75 for all three, it's 50 for three.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's good.
So, and there's more coming out. There's more different things coming out shortly.
Yeah.
If we're allowed to go on, and if we're not allowed to go on or something happens, which it might, we attract a lot of attention, then hopefully others will take up the banner and carry on with it.
Well, yes, and don't you feel grateful for Jason?
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly, I've never been able to even express enough to me, I didn't have the words, I don't have the words,
uh-huh.
to express my gratitude to Darren,
mm-hmm.
Weeks, our webmaster,
yeah.
Because otherwise all of the information that is out there for literally millions of people,
yeah.
wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for them.
Mm-hmm. And you know, this is not a business, you see. A lot of these other programs are businesses. We don't advertise things, we don't sell things. and all the other gizmos you can get, which are generally fear-based buys. We don't go into that, so it truly is. It's dependent upon help from the public.
In other words, we're not saying come and get it before it's too late and they're all gone and you're dead.
That's right. Or this disease is coming your way. We have the cure. It's only $500 for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank Jason too for what he's doing for you,
yeah,
for the people, and of course Darren Weeks and folks. On Monday and Tuesday, Darren is the host of this broadcast. I actually fill in for him on Wednesdays.
And he's on night shift, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He is on night shift, but see, he does his broadcast on Monday and Tuesday, which are his nights off.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm filling in for him on Wednesdays. So folks, do be sure to tune in on Monday and Tuesday night at 9 p.m., same time, same place, for Darren Weeks. And you will be glad you did, I promise you that. In fact, I would never... And I say this without exception. Darren Weeks would be the only person that I would have thought of to ask to take over this broadcast, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, and I'm accepting you, excuse me. I wasn't including you in that.
Uh-huh.
But there is nobody, no other broadcaster, no other buddy that I knew that I would have asked. The Sweet Liberty would have been done when I went off shortwave, period.
Yeah.
And it's because...
These people step forward, and that's what keeps things going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard our music yet, and maybe, you know what, I think maybe Grandfather might be a minute or two early. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners before the...
Oh, don't euthanize your clock, even with the Grandfather.
Alan...
Yeah.
You know I love Grandfather.
Yeah, it's 1 minute to go, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's...
Give him a good polish instead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well...
But it's true. It's the occasional person here or there who dedicates themselves to this, because it's not for ourselves. It's for those to come.
Yes.
It's for the life we're going to have, or the non-life we're going to exist through.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about.
And when you say life, you're not talking survival. You're talking life.
Life.
Living. And it looks like Grandfather's right on time here, because I did hear our warning for our 1 minute. So we'll be back next Wednesday night, folks. And be sure to tune in and remember Monday and Tuesday. And Alan, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
And you'll stay on for a sec, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Good night, folks. Thank you for being here.
Well, John, I want to hand down to you some family heirlooms.
Really? Did you hear that, dear? Grandpa has some gifts for us.
That's nice, dear.
So, what do you have for me?
Well, I have this Bible. It's been in the family since our relatives came over on the Mayflower in the 1600s.
Wow, that's got to be worth a lot. Hon, what do you think we can get for this?
I'll call the appraiser tomorrow.
What else do you have?
I have these wedding bands owned by your great-great-grandparents.
Are they gold?
Oh, no, they're silver. They were way too poor to afford gold.
Oh. Well, what do you think, dear? Garage sale?
Garage sale.
What's this book?
Well, that's the history of our family going back to the 1400s. I've been working on this for the last 47 years.
Well, that's nice. Hon?
Attic.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming over, Grandpa. Come again.
God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, Jesus. What have you done with God's gift? A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. Lifeline Productions.